Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday. Ah, already got texts rolling in. Great 6 a.m. listeners. In this case, 5:30 listeners.
Hey, what time? When did we become Arizona? It was 71 yesterday. It was gorgeous.
I made the comment to my wife. I was out grilling last night around 7 o'clock. Some thin pork chops.
Ooh.
Mmm, delicious. With some roasted broccoli.
Oh, do you ever dip your pork chops in applesauce?
Yes! Yes!
It's like bacon and syrup.
Pork chops like and applesauce.
Yeah, like sweet.
Well.
It's like sweet and sour.
Yeah. Although, my wife made some outstanding gravy for Thanksgiving.
I can tell.
And
you look like a big mudslide gravy.
Used some of that turkey gravy on the pork chops last night.
Did you now? Did you now?
I mean, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I drizzled some on my broccoli.
Then you just drank some.
And then I just drank some.
Goblet. I didn't bring me the gravy goblet.
Bring me my goblet. Glug, 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 glug. Ooh, I like turkey gravy. So, anyway,
good for you.
It was
good
delicious. But I was outside grilling. I'm like, this was like San Diego.
It was just gorgeous. It's supposed to be gorgeous all week.
I know. I know. But some point, need some winter.
We'd like a little precip.
Yes. We need it. Okay. Well, in the spirit of leftovers, Thanksgiving leftovers, working through all that leftover turkey and stuffing and all that stuff and gravy, I bring you Broncos Chargers leftovers, which we do every Tuesday after a Broncos Sunday game, which gives you a chance to bring up to us, bring to everybody, bring to light some of the things that maybe slipped through the cracks in the immediate aftermath of the win on Sunday, talked about Monday, but stuff that you want to bring up. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Like I got one for you. I was trying to best capture how I felt while Drew Lock was in the game and how it felt more chaotic than when Bridgewater's in the game.
You'll like this.
Remember when we were kids and you'd have your record player. And you'd have your record that you would play at 45 RPM.
Yeah.
But then you'd have fun and you'd turn it up, the same record, to like 78.
Yes.
Teddy Bridgewater's 45. Drew Lock, when he's in there, it felt like 78. And that's too fast.
Yeah.
It's just too fast.
Teddy Bridgewater may be more like 22.
What's the lowest?
Yeah.
Betty, tell me you got that.
that's a great analogy. Did you?
It's 45, 78, and 33 and a third.
33 and a third.
Yeah, Teddy's even more 33 and a third.
He is.
Drew is full 78.
Yeah. Yeah. Frenetic.
Frenetic.
Yes. It's a great word. Frenetic. By the way, I was listening to The Drive last night.
My condolences. But
Tyler brought up a good point. Like, rooting for Drew, you want to see him have success. I want to see young guys that maybe haven't gotten it or get another opportunity, like, go in there and play well and take advantage of that opportunity. Like the Quinn kid that came in, Quinn Bailey. Fought his butt off. Like Mutai came in there, fought his butt off. Like the mighty Quinn.
Quinn Bailey.
Or the other one.
Miners.
Miners. Came in there, you know, was coming off the ball, gotten a chance to start a couple of games, and is playing his butt off. Like, that's what you want to, like, you want to see young players. You know young players are going to make mistakes, right? But just go in there, do your job, play well, be physical, do the right things. And there's this part of you that just wants to see him perform well, and then, you know, there's that apprehensive feeling that you have, like, oh, here we go. And I think the way that Tyler explained it, and it's almost like, hey, dude, just go in and do your job. Don't go in and try to win a job. Go in and do your job. And it almost feels like you're going to go in there and go, I'll prove you guys that I should have won the 50-50 competition.
I like it.
Instead of just doing your job and not putting your team in harm's way, you put your team in a place to, you know, you put your team in a place to give up 7 points, to give up a short field, and lose a football game. And, you know, and let momentum swing at the end of a game when you had no business doing it. And I'm not saying Teddy hasn't done it as well, because he has, but the bottom line is that was the, you know, just the gut reaction I had to him playing the game. You want to see him do well, but then you watch him like, oh my gosh, come on, dude.
You mentioned the gutsy performance by those fill-in offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
About the gutsy performance by your Denver Nuggets last night, ending their losing streak, going on the road, the revenge game, beating Miami 120-111 with the Jokic brothers in attendance.
Ooh,
Jokic getting booed. Mm-hmm. To which he said after the game, "Great answer." He said, "I played in Serbia." I can handle booze. Okay. I can handle booze.
That's awesome. Okay.
Playing in Serbia, yeah, is a little bit, you run into a much more hostile crowd in Serbia, right, than you're going to run into in South Beach.
Yeah. It's probably like playing in Philly.
Serbia?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's probably Serbia, a lot like
Serbia, Philly.
Right.
Serbia, Philly. Yeah.
I figured it'd be kind of similar.
Kind of similar, right? Yes.
Yeah,
but not South Beach. No, they're
no, South Beach.
They're not exactly intimidating in Miami. But good win.
Yeah,
but bittersweet, because what's the story? Is the story a gutsy win? Bones Highland scoring 19 points in 21 minutes, hitting 5 threes, or is it Michael Porter Jr. out? I got to get your take on this.
Yeah,
indefinitely with back surgery. When you hear indefinitely, and when you hear his agent say it's expected he'll make a full recovery,
mm-hmm,
I can already see your eyes starting to roll.
Yeah, both are lies. Indefinitely is not that's not a lie. There's too much invested for you to do, you know, what football players do. There's too much invested. There's too much money invested. There's too much of a potential, you know, that not working out. This could be your third back surgery. One thing I know about backs, like, once you have a back issue, you have a back issue for life. Once you start messing with those discs, now you can make it, like, I feel great compared to what I felt like for 20 years, but I'm still, you know, I still know what's going on back there. This was one of those press pauses, and you may be enacting your insurance policy, your Lloyd's of London policy on Michael Porter Jr. Because this doesn't feel good to me.
All right, we're off and rolling. Your thoughts on that? Broncos Chargers leftovers coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's get to the text, some of the leftovers. This is the leftover season.
from the Broncos-Chargers game.
Are the Seahawks in decline? How can that be when you have a unicorn QB and one of the top head coaches in the NFL?
Oh, that's easy. I'll stop you right there.
Well, I just read the whole thing,
right.
So
I'll stop
you. Need to stop me. Just
right.
Answer.
That's an easy one. How they're in decline because they didn't take Russell Wilson in the first 10 picks. They had taken him in the first 10 picks. I mean, he was a khaki pants guy. I mean, of course, it was only a matter of 10 years before he finally fell apart.
Took 10 years, but he got figured out.
Yeah,
huh?
It would take you 10 years to figure him out, but now they figured him out because he's a khaki pants. Now, if he'd have been taken in the first 10 picks, then it would have been a different story.
Ah, I see. What is happening there? Because I find myself rooting for Seattle to lose. And by the way, the other thing that's kind of fascinating in all this, with everything going on in college football and these staggering moves, in case you missed it last night, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU. That's an odd move.
Our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Why do you think that's an odd move?
Well, first of all, it's Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame was it.
Yeah.
I thought there was no better place to be than Notre Dame. It's Notre freaking Dame.
Right.
They got
right. Their
own TV deal.
Yes.
So the fact that this guy's leaving Notre Dame for LSU to jump into the snake pit that is the SEC.
Right.
To go to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. And then also just the idea that Ed Orgeron feels like an LSU fit.
Right.
Does Brian Kelly feel like Bayou to you? Gumbo?
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Stokely?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll change his language coming up here.
Anyway, what about the idea that Pete Carroll might look at and say, you know what? Been a heck of a run in Seattle.
Maybe it's time.
Maybe it's time to go back to college. I loved college. I loved my time at USC. Look at the crazy money that they're throwing out there.
It is.
Pete Carroll to Notre Dame.
It is insane money, right?
I haven't seen figures yet with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, but if...
Got to be over $100 million.
Right? If Midnight Mel Tucker set the bar at $95
million, right.
Then you got to think that Lincoln Riley at USC is at least $120
million? Got to be.
Right?
Got to be.
Same thing for Brian Kelly. I don't think you leave Notre Dame unless it's an astronomical number.
Right.
So my point being is that when you look at Seattle, 3-8 now.
Uh-huh.
We already know that Russell Wilson was looking elsewhere in the offseason. Could this be both these guys want out of Seattle?
Who?
I know. You were thinking one or the other, but what about both?
Yeah. I bought it. That could happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there was any way that Pete Carroll would be like out. Like, come on, they'll figure it out, right? Their relationship isn't that bad. It's not going to just dissolve. But, Mike, with that said, I mean, this is kind of crazy. This is kind of crazy. And not playing very well right now. Press the reset button, change of scenery. Does Russell Wilson have a no-trade clause in his contract, you know?
Well, I do know that, remember last year, his agent,
right,
unbeknownst to Russ, put out a list of handful of teams that he'd be interested in being traded to.
Mm.
Broncos, by the way, were not one of them.
No?
Raiders were. But I just tossed that out. And so should we be rooting for things to go horribly wrong in Seattle? Should we continue to root for them to lose?
They've already gone horribly wrong in Seattle.
Yeah, you're right.
They've got three wins.
They're 3-8. Yeah, it's already gone. But I mean, really bottom.
Russell had never lost three games in a row that he had started.
That's right.
Now I think he's lost, what, four games?
Yes.
Four games in a row?
Which has never happened.
No, because if he's never lost three games in a row and then you lose your fourth. So now both of those things are true. He has lost three games in a row and four games in a row.
That's right. Both of which it's never happened.
No.
And guess what? If you lose five in a row,
right? If you take
that will never have happened either.
If you take three and you add one, it equals four.
What are we talking about? Talk about.
That's Matt.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music. Talk about pop music. Talk about pop music.
Ken and Aurora.
Mm.
Hey, if anybody is experienced at paying out a bad contract, it is certainly our guy Stan Kroenke. See the check he and the rest of the NFL cut to St. Louis?
No, what did they cut?
$735 million.
They did?
Yep. Now, I don't know how much of that was just Stan. Stan was fighting to not have to foot the bill. He was all of a sudden looking around and passing the hat around to his fellow billionaire saying, hey, a little help here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, $735 million was the number I saw.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, come on. For Stan, though?
Right. Find that in the seat cushions.
Yeah. Just have to sell some more. He's a Walmart guy, right?
His wife is. But, yeah, by extension, yeah.
Yeah.
He's okay. He'll do okay. But, hey, $735 million here, $170 million here for Michael Porter Jr. You know, hey.
A little GoFundMe for...
Pass the hat there. Pass the hat. Pass the hat there for Stan Kroenke.
Hey, Stan's hit some tough times lately.
He's got some tough bills to pay right now. Yeah. All right, thank you, Ken. All right, we got the Morning Brew coming up next. We'll hear from Vic Fangio. Also, we'll hear from the Nuggets post-game show, including what Gene Wojciechowski has to say about Michael Porter Jr.'s back surgery. All that's coming up next. Denver Sports Station 104.3, The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep hiking, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
I talked to his agent, Mark Bartlestein, today with Priority Sports, and he said that they're gonna determine that timeline on a return for Porter Jr. after the surgery. There's still scenarios where Michael Porter Jr. could play again this season. Certainly, they're going to be cautious. He has had back issues before. He had surgery prior to his rookie year in the NBA. It's what caused him to drop all the way to Denver.
Woj bomb, Gene Wojciechowski on, talking about the Michael Porter Jr. back surgery that will sideline him, according to his agent, quote, indefinitely. Michael Porter Jr. is only making about $5 million this year. Next year is when his 5-year, $172 million contract kicks in.
Michael Jr. Porter.
Just me, I'll be stunned if we see him this year. Because no matter how much the Nuggets' aspirations are to win this year, I think they, at least in the case of Porter, are dwarfed by the fact that we got to protect this investment, which kicks in next year. And if sitting him out all season long, strengthening that back, rehabbing that back to make sure that he's ready to go for next year, in this case, the future investment is more important than whatever you're trying to do this year. Agreed?
100%. Yeah, there's going to be no rush to get him back. And I'm probably rightfully so, but That back is, I don't even know, is it more for the team? Like, is the team not in a hurry? Would you like to hurry him back? And if he fails, then you collect on your insurance policy so you don't have to be out the cash? Or I think at this point, everybody wants to see what this guy could possibly be, potentially be, because of you know, his extreme athleticism and his height and everything else. So, I'm with you. I think they're going to be super cautious. But once, I mean, this is your third back operation, Mike. Back operations, the back is a tricky, tricky deal.
So where are we at now in terms of expectations for this season? The idea going in that nobody really seemed to argue with was, hey, this season's going to be contingent not only on Jamal Murray coming back and being 100% for a playoff run,
right,
but also with the idea that Michael Porter Jr. takes the leap and you have yourself a legitimate big three.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're counting on Jamal Murray coming back 100% from an ACL and hoping that Michael Porter Jr. comes back late in the season? Where are your expectations now? If they were fill in the blank before, what are they now?
I still expect them to be a playoff team,
right?
But competing for a championship or competing for, you know, a championship game, a championship series, a Western Division Championship Series, no, I don't.
I feel
like they're one and done type of getting to the playoffs as a seventh seed, sixth seed, whatever, and be bounced.
I think winning a playoff series this year would constitute a huge success. But season began, we were thinking Western Conference Finals at minimum. I just have a hard time seeing them be able to get to that level now. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, it's different for a guy who's never come off the bench. You know, and in Drew's case, you know, we're probably not giving him enough reps during the week, you know, not to make an excuse for him, you know, but he's got to learn to do better at that. And maybe some of that is we need to have a better list of what he feels comfortable at operating with and running and calling. And hopefully he's learned from these two times. Hopefully there won't be another time due to injury and he'll do better the next time.
Should there be a next time? Or are we at the point now where clearly, Drew Locke, he's been given two opportunities to step in as a backup. Hasn't handled either one.
Hopefully there won't be another time.
Hasn't handled either one well. Doesn't Brett Rypien seem to fill out the profile of the backup quarterback better than Drew?
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen again, if that's the direction they go. I guess we'll see, right, this weekend, Sunday night, if they decide to activate Brett Rypien.
Well, you can't have three quarterbacks active. That's dumb. So it's a matter of activating Rypien and deactivating Locke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, but I wouldn't
have all three active.
No, I would, but that wouldn't surprise me in the least if they did that. But you know what you can't have? You can't have your backup quarterback thinking he's rolling in and going to take the job.
Right. And that's how I think he approached it. I got to make a play. I gotta make a play.
Yeah, I gotta do something special. I gotta show them that they made the wrong decision.
Right.
I gotta get, you know, this is my chance. At some point, you have to do what's best for the team and play, you know, situational football. Understand what's going on, and you can't throw that pick. You can't.
Excellent Morning Brew.
Takes the snap. Plenty of time. Surveying. Looks over the middle. That is thrown into the end zone and is picked off. Kendall Fuller picked it off. And Washington maintains their lead. Now they just need to survive a kickoff.
Mr. Unlimited.
Wolfed Radio. As Washington did escape with a 17-15 win on Monday Night Football. But the story here is we always relate it back to what's going on with the Broncos. The idea that Russell Wilson might be available. All right. Well, since getting hurt in the Rams game on October 7th, he's come back. He's played in three games. All losses. Seattle has scored 0, 13, and 15 points.
So they're trending up is what you're telling me.
Russ is completing about 55% of his passes. Three games, two touchdowns, two picks. Is Russell Wilson still the quarterback that you should want to go out and get?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No questions asked.
No questions asked.
Three first round picks, done.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, one, you know, the only thing I have is a question about the work ethic because he only rehabbed 19 hours a day. Could have gone 21 hours a day?
Yeah. Slacker.
But they, of course that finger is going to be, that thing is like, you broke a extension tendon in your finger. You had to have surgery to fix it. It's, you know, I mean, grip on the ball. Is there numbness in the finger? Like, all that stuff is going to matter. It's going to take its toll on you. And then on top of it, boy, I will tell you this, man. You see some of the throwbacks and some of the deep crosses he threw to Lockett yesterday? We're talking about money. But listen, Seattle's not that they have fallen. Their whole team, top to bottom, roster wise, has just fallen apart.
So the question is, do they run it back with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson? Do they consider this an aberration? Do they choose between the two of them? And if so, who do they choose to build around, the coach or the quarterback?
It's much harder to find a quarterback than it is a coach.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. Wow. I guess how the mighty have fallen that I thought Notre Dame was it. The pinnacle. The creme de la creme.
Yeah, you're basically saying you can't win a national championship at Notre Dame. The standards are too high.
Is that what it is? Because I can see Brian Kelly saying, man, I got higher academic standards than most power schools.
Right.
But he also has to be like, man, we're put together an 11-1 season and I'm still staring up at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
So, and I wonder, we'll have Joel Klatt on tomorrow. I'll ask him about this. But I wonder if Notre Dame's lack of
conference
affiliation is really starting to hurt them here.
I think that, I mean, I think it's part of it. I think the other thing is, I mean, look at what, when they've been in the playoffs, Mike, in the last few years, when they played in a national championship. I was at the national championship game when they played Alabama and just got absolutely, you know, stomped. So, I think all that hurt. Brian Kelly has a better chance to go into LSU with the recruits they get and instantly become a powerhouse, mm-hmm. instantly compete for a SEC championship.
But see, Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati. Okay, I get that. But we know that if you're a powerhouse team in the Big Ten or the SEC, you can have one loss and
mm-hmm.
people are looking for an excuse to still get you back into the playoffs.
Right.
Not the case here with Notre Dame anymore, it would appear. And when you have a schedule that's dotted with Toledo, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Navy, yeah. Georgia Tech. You know, you just play in this hodgepodge schedule that, right.
Especially if none of them
doesn't work anymore.
And you can't lose to, hey man, you can't lose to Cincinnati.
So Brian Kelly on his way to LSU, Lincoln Riley to USC. Massive, massive changes in college football. We'll visit with Joel Klatt tomorrow morning at 8.
Real quick, if you get into the playoffs, right now, I mean, if Oklahoma were to get into that window and Notre Dame were to get out of that window, they'd be both in a playoff for a national championship without their head coaches?
Correct.
The interim head coach? I should have got into head coaching. You see the money going on and Lord have mercy.
Starting north of $100 million now for these guys.
Hey, I just want you guys to know I'm available.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning.
Notre Dame, if you're listening.
Notre Dame stinks available.
I'm available.
He'd be the Rudy of coaches.
That's right. We're going to go hard. We're going to win. Mike, stay low. We're going to keep our knees bad.
Mike Kliss joins us next. Denver Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan. Woo! Mike Kliss is our 9 News and Bronco Insider. As always, he's presented by Bet Rivers Casino. Bet Rivers Sportsbook. He joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
Michael, how are you, my friend? Really, that's a big-time game coming up. Sunday night, got flexed. The Kansas City. Yeah. This is the biggest game. This is the biggest game we've had since Super Bowl 50, isn't it? Doesn't it feel that way?
Since Super Bowl 50, I remember, I'm going to say 2016, both the Chiefs and the Broncos were 7-3. And that was the game that Simeon hit Benny Fowler for the 78-yard Broncos are up 24-16. There's 2:20 left in the game, and Alex Smith leads them down 4th and 11, and he hits Tyreek Hill for the first down. They go on and tie the game, and I think McManus missed a real long field goal in overtime, and the Chiefs turned around, used the field position to win it. That game, to me, guys, marked the was the line of demarcation. That's when the Chiefs took off and became the power and took it away from the Broncos. The Broncos had won 5 AFC West titles going into that game in a row, and the Chiefs have won 5 AFC West titles since then. So that was the last big game between these two teams and probably for the Broncos. And now let's see if 5 years later the Broncos are ready to gain a little bit, catch up a little bit on the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's a great history lesson. I appreciate that. But this feels like the game that you can either gain some ground on Kansas City, or you can basically be, the same that you've been the last 5 years.
Well, I would argue even just gain credibility within your own fan base, right? A very skeptical fan base that's dubious about whether or not they can make this win over the Chargers and really, pay it forward.
Yeah, and they haven't been consistent, this year. I think a lot of people think they've won a couple games they shouldn't, and or they weren't expected to, and they've lost a couple games they were supposed to win. So this one, they're not supposed to win. And so maybe that bodes well for them. If they lose this game, though, guys, let's kind of work backwards here. If they lose this game, they still have the Lions and Bengals at home. And, those become must wins. And then you're 8-6 going into the final three, at the Raiders, at the Chargers, and home against the Chiefs. Maybe for that final game against the Chiefs, if the Chiefs kind of run away with the AFC West, maybe they don't have to play Mahomes in that final game. So that might be another break from the schedule makers there to have the Chiefs in the last week of the regular season. And so see where they end up here. I mean, it looks like they can go 9-8. You got to beat the Chiefs once, I think, to wind up 10-7 and in the playoffs.
Mike, there's a concern out there that 9-8 would be the worst thing possible, because it would put you right there in that purgatory of the NFL. Where what are you? Are you on the rise? Or are you just kind of stuck in the middle? And it leads to the possibility that Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater, George Payton, decides to run it back with those two. If they go 9-8, do you see that kind of scenario playing out?
I don't know about that. I know this. People have had Fangio fired for a while now, and it looked bleak after they traded Von Miller, and they've gone 3-1. This team is a little bit on the upswing. I think 6-5, but on the upswing. Strangely enough, since the Von Miller trade. And Fangio, I thought, did a remarkable job this past week against Justin Herbert. He had the pressures he brought, which surprised me. I know they had Chubb back, but that was more pressure on Herbert than the Broncos front has put on quarterbacks for the most part this year. Herbert seemed confused by the pressure. I think there were times he was looking at the rush. He didn't pass well off the rush. The first interception by Pat Surtain, Jared Cook was wide open in the end zone. He underthrew the ball. And Surtain did a nice job with getting the pick. But I thought that, Fangio did a heck of a job. And, the whole what-if scenario about whether Fangio survives, I think he's proven that it's been unfair to speculate on that, because he's not only surviving, he's got the team playing well right now. Let's just let this play out and see what happens. See what the feel is among the people upstairs as far as whether or not to make a move.
All right, speaking of feel, it feels like watching the broadcast that nobody has a lot of faith in Drew Lock, and he's almost not embraced the role of being a backup, but is coming in and trying to win the starting job back. Do you see any change there? Will he continue to be the backup, or do you think they may make a move to Brett Rypien?
No, they're not going to make a move. Fangio admitted that Lock has to be better yesterday, and he said that, they have to give him maybe a couple more reps, give him some more plays that he's more comfortable with. You know, I think there's an art to coming off the bench, and Mark, you've been around some backup quarterbacks. Some are pretty good at it, coming off cold and measuring up to the speed of the game. It looks like Drew struggles with keeping up with the speed of the game. The game looks fast to him when he comes off the bench cold. Somebody pointed out to me that Drew Lock is really a basketball player. He comes off the bench and he throws the ball away, a turnover, and he just goes back to the other side and he's ready to play a little bit more ball. Where in football, you make a turnover, that's a huge deal. You don't get the ball back for a while. And it puts the other team back in the game. So his mentality on coming off the bench has to change. And, the coaching staff have to acknowledge that they have to do some things to make him more successful, or at least to the point where he's, not making a critical turnover.
Good stuff, Mike. As always, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, go get them.
All right, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Coming up this Thursday, it's something very special to both Mark and I, to all of us here at The Fan, our annual Season of Hope to raise funds for the New Life Program of the Denver Rescue Mission. Sting talks about, you've got this passion for the program. You started it, and it's something that you and I have had a lot of fun with and also a lot of fulfillment with over the last several years.
Yeah, it's always good to see the guys who own their stuff, that own kind of where they're at, try to get their lives back in order. And it's fun. And the New Life program over at Denver Rescue Mission does a phenomenal job of helping them with work skills and getting right and clean and sober and preaching the gospel. So I appreciate the program. I really do, and I appreciate those guys owning it, taking responsibility for it, and becoming productive members of society.
Lot of success stories over there. We would love for you to check out more about it and to perhaps be able to help out with a small donation. Anything you can give would be greatly, greatly appreciated. To learn more or donate, go to denverfan.com/seasonofhope. Well, as always, a lot to unpack there with Mike Kliss, including when it comes to Vic Fangio, do we need to sit back and watch how this plays out? Can Vic Fangio win you over? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.